Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Lakers, brought to you by SeatGeek. Remember to use the promo code LOLAKERS for a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. I am your host, Harrison Fagan. You'll notice I didn't say Anthony Irwin, because today I have the pleasure of not only hosting myself, but being joined by not Anthony Irwin, better known as my content creation mentor and editor-in-chief of Silver Screen and Roll, Drew Garrison. How's it going, Drew?
It is going fantastic. We'll talk about it plenty, but I'm still riding that adrenaline high of just being at that game last night. Lakers win over Denver was amazing to be in attendance at.
Yeah, well, before we get to that, I just want to remind our audience to make sure you don't miss any episodes by subscribing on iTunes. Leave us a review, preferably 5 stars if you can. It helps us out. You can also find the show on Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, and Silver Screen and Roll. You can also find on Silver Screen and Roll Drew's excellent video on the sights and sounds of last game. I think that's going to be Facebook exclusive for right now, right?
Yeah, get on our Facebook page, check out our exclusive video content.
Yeah, so just like Silver Screen and Roll on Facebook, you can check out the video from last night. Drew got video of warm-ups, some of the post-game press conferences, and all that good stuff from Ontario. And also, he had a great column on D'Angelo Russell and how the Lakers culture is kind of rebuilding around him to a certain extent. And you know, around Luke a little bit as well. Everybody should go read it. But, Drew, I wanted to bring you on because we've both been credentialed for a game now, so I think that technically makes us not only journalism experts, but Lakers insiders.
And
I figured we could talk about what we've seen on kind of the quote-unquote beat, and I think the major takeaway so far has to be the subject of your column last night, Russell.
Yeah, totally. I think everything right now that we know about the Lakers centers around D'Angelo Russell. He's come so far from last season when so many people were already burying him. And last night was really the final thing. We saw a great summer league from him, obviously. And then he really translated it into preseason so far. So I'm very impressed with what I've seen.
Yeah, he got off to like a little bit of a rocky start in the first game, but so far he's leading the team in, I'll take a deep breath here, shots at 13.7, points at 19.3, assists at 3.7, steals with 2.3, and usage with 30.2%. Again, it's just preseason, which is emphasized by hilariously Ejion Leon is second on the team in usage rate at 26.3%, shooters shoot. Speaking of that, Russell is also shooting 47.1% from three and has a true shooting percentage of 65.1. I think really the only blemish has been 3.7 turnovers a game, which is also good for a team lead. So, but I mean, overall, he's just, I think he's just been unbelievable.
Totally agree. You mentioned the one blemish, which is his turnovers. And I think it's frustrating to see because he's such a great passer. And you just see him get into these situations where he either misses his guy or he tries to force it into traffic. And I think once he gets that under control, he's going to be a much more efficient NBA player. Obviously, you cut down your turnovers, you're more efficient. But I think that's the biggest thing right now. His shot looks like it's there. His decision-making is pretty good when he's taking his shots. But once he cleans up his turnovers, he'll really take a step forward for the team.
Yeah, I think as far as the turnovers go, I almost thought in the games that I missed the first half of last game. But so I've watched him in 2.5 preseason games so far, and obviously throughout summer league. And it seems like a few of his turnovers, I mean, I guess this is true for any point guard, but it seems like quite a few of his turnovers have not really been totally his fault. It just seems like there's been the offense with the starters until last night was just a lot more stilted than it was with the bench unit. You could just kind of see guys like they were running pretty good stuff, but it looked a little bit more robotic.
Yeah, and I think last night was the first time we really saw them looking very fluid with their pick and rolls, things like that. I'm not too concerned about it. You know, they have a lot of new pieces. They have a whole new offensive system to learn. They have a new coach to communicate with. So I think those numbers will come down. But yeah, overall, you know, if that's the one thing we can complain about Russell, I mean, that's been a pretty great preseason for him.
So what are your thoughts on him kind of? I mean, I know it's just 3 preseason games, but I think you talked about how a lot of the talk last year was that he was a disappointment. And I think a lot of Lakers fans really disagreed. I mean, he wasn't great the entire year. He definitely had his down moments, but I think he was pretty good. And it looks like he's just kind of translating that to a larger kind of percent of the possessions this year, right?
Absolutely. I think everything he did last year that was good, he's elevated it. He's elevated his mid-range shooting. He's elevated his shooting and draft. He's elevated his pull-up dribble shots. You know, he's elevated his game. And he was very to the point about that. You know, I asked him, you know, directly. I said, is there anything about your shot motion that you changed? And, you know, his response was nothing. He didn't change anything. It's all about repetition. And all of that repetition he's been doing, whether it's with his dribble moves, his shooting, his conditioning, whatever it is, it's clearly paying off. And it's great to see, you know, when you put in that hard work that it comes out on the other end with results.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the key, is that he's putting in that hard work. I think a lot of people after Snapchat Gate, or whatever we're going to call it, last year, wanted to just kind of write him off as immature. And, you know, you do kind of, you see things and you hear things like, yeah, again, he's a 20-year-old kid, so he's not perfect yet by any means. But I thought it was interesting last night, and then I guess really throughout the entire preseason, how professional he's really tried to be, and that just kind of he definitely has his talking points to a certain degree about how much more mature, how much he's matured, I guess, over the summer.
Definitely felt like he knew what he was going to say last night. You know, he had, like you said, talking points very well laid out. And what he really harped on yesterday, which is last night, versus Denver, was the team searching for an identity. And I thought what he was saying yet last night was very impressive to me, because he's coming off of a 33-point game where he just dominated Emmanuel Mudiay and the Denver Nuggets defense.
Drew, you can't make that comparison. Russell was the better prospect, okay?
Yeah, that's quite the all I'm going to say is scoreboard. but yeah, no, it was great to see that to me. But he's coming off this very great game, and he's not talking about how he's the leader, or he's talking about this, that, or the other. He's talking about how they still have so far to go, that, you know, they still need to find out who they are. He genuinely seems like he does not care that he just dropped 33 on their heads, that he really just wants to focus on. This was a great point of proof of their work for the process that they're doing together, but there's still a lot of work ahead, and that this one game, his 33 points mean nothing in the grand scheme. And he seemed very aware of that. And I think that's what really stood out to me about his maturity and what he had to say last night.
Yeah, after the game last night, I didn't get a chance to talk to him while I was there earlier this week. But after the game last night, when he was getting interviewed by Mike Trudell, he was talking about he knows it's just preseason, but he's using it as kind of an opportunity to show people what he can do. And he has this chip on his shoulder. And I think a lot of his confidence has kind of come from being empowered by Luke, right?
I think so. I think that we heard throughout the offseason that Luke has been very communicative with Russell. And I think it translates. I think, you know, Luke's been also very clear that the point guard needs to be an extension of the coach. And for him to have the confidence to do what he's doing right now, you know, through these preseason games, he's taking shots without really anything reining him back, because they're dropping, obviously. If they weren't dropping, we'd probably be having a very different podcast right now. If he, yeah. if he if he was, you know, not dropping 33 points, if he dropped like 7 points, it would be a very different conversation. But
well, Adam Morris was, you know, who covers the Nuggets. He was talking about last night. He was talking about that last on our most recent episode of Locked On Lakers before this, where he was just saying that, you know, Russell, he did. I mean, he's obviously improved and he's playing well, but he did get kind of the perfect coverage for him from the Nuggets with their bigs dropping back every single time, and he's just going to roast teams every single time they do that, and that's fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think D'Angelo needs to prove on a nightly basis that you can't sag off of him.
Yeah,
he needs to do that. I think that's a first step in him being able to manipulate a defense, is to be respected by the defense, and he needs to punish teams when they do that to him, and he was punishing Denver last night. Even if it was Emmanuel Mudiay riding him, or whoever it was, Jamal Murray, whoever was on him, when they were on him, he was roasting over the top. And then, you know, any space in defense, he just handled it. And he needs to do that to everybody. And then he can force the defense into bad positions, get them to rotate and shift where he wants them, and then pick them apart with passes. You know, that's where, you know, it all comes together once you're a respected offensive weapon.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And, you know, obviously he's been unbelievable this preseason, but I think we should probably move on a little bit before we declare him the favorite for MVP based on three preseason games. So I do want to get to some viewer questions that we had from our kind of loyal listeners. And but first, I wanted to talk to you, Drew, a little bit more about SeatGeek. So I know you, as a credentialed reporter, don't really need tickets to the games. But for those that do want to go catch kind of Russell's breakout and the rest of the Lakers blowing up as the season goes on, or in the preseason, or maybe they even want to go to a Rams game, there's no better place to buy those tickets than SeatGeek. They have the easiest mobile interface of any ticketing application, and their deal score feature allows you to name the price that you want to pay in their app and receive an alert when seats are available for that price, which is something that's really convenient for someone like me who's really cheap, and I know what I want to pay for certain things, and that's what I'm willing to pay. And so SeatGeek, if I want to go to a game and I want to buy a ticket, it will let me know when a ticket is available for a price that I think is worth it. And so another great thing about SeatGeek is that, you know, they want to save you money. They're willing to help out the listeners of this podcast to save some money. And if all you have to do is go to SeatGeek, use the promo code LOLakers, and you'll get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. It just could not be easier. You can do it. You can do it right from your phone on your way to the game. Pull over first, but you can get it done right on your phone, right on your PC. It's really simple. Just LO Lakers and you get a $20 rebate off your first ticketing purchase. So Drew, I know obviously that's a really impressive deal, but other than SeatGeek, what has impressed you most about the team so far?
I think the growth over these three games, I think that's most impressive. The first game, they looked really out of sync. The second game, they looked a little bit better. And last night, you could see everything kind of clicking. And not just with Russell, which we can go on for days, but Nick Young was engaged on defense. Lou Williams had a very good game offensively. They were moving the ball. They were moving off ball. They were setting great screens. People within the system were moving with a purpose. And it translated into a very good offensive showing. And I think for them to make that much growth over these three games is impressive to me, because it's a whole new system, a whole new team, a whole new coach. And while, you know, next game they can probably go out there and stink it up for all I know, but they look a lot better by game three. And it makes me excited for game 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, because I see a great growth curve from this team already forming.
Well, I think for me, I agree with you, but I also think that, and my answer kind of answers another question from one of our writers and actually a loyal listener as well that I know you and I personally talk about all the time, Damon Rangula. And he was asking about, having seen the Lakers in person now, what's the biggest change you've noticed in the feel of the team? Has Kobe's absence been felt? Any interesting body language things in between on the bench between the players and the coaching staff? And I think along kind of a similar lines to what you're talking about, I just noticed like how supportive the players and coaches have been of one another. Last year, it just seemed a little bit more distant. And now you see the players, they're constantly talking to each other on the floor and on the bench. They're dapping each other up, except for when, you know, they forget to high five Russell and he has to do it to himself. But You know, all of the coaches are constantly getting in these guys' ears. You see them before the games warming up with the young guys. You see an assistant coach, whether it be, you know, Casey Owens, or whether it be Kobe Carl, or whether it be any of the other coaches, and they're out there working with these guys one-on-one on the floor, offering them tips instead of just having them just kind of, you know, go out there, get their shooting done. That's been really impressive to me. And then you see guys on the bench. You see, like, Larry Nance Jr. getting in Ivica Zubac's ear, or Meta World Peace talking to guys on the bench, kind of like he's an assistant coach. And their chemistry is just, like, their chemistry even off the floor is so good that, you know, Brandon Ingram can lob Larry Nance Jr. a can of spray-on deodorant mid-interview without him breaking stride while I'm talking to him. And so I just think that it's that kind of chemistry that's really impressed me most after a year where I think charitably, you know, that I don't think it's unfair to say that the chemistry was not that great.
Well, the chemistry was definitely not that great last year. And I would say that I definitely see them having a much lighter atmosphere. When Brandon Ingram was getting interviewed last night, Jordan Clarkson was in the background saying some nonsense over the top just to try to interfere with, you know, him talking to, well, it was, I believe, John Ireland. Anyway, but just little things like that, they mess with each other. The thing I noticed, actually, and I mentioned it to you in Hangouts before the show, and I'm glad I get to talk about it now, is that I do notice that while he's on the floor, I'm seeing in-game communication quite often between Russell and Luke. At least last night, I saw them between free throws, things like that, discussing things. I see body language between the two of them. I see them, you know, wording things to one another. So I think that's another thing that I've noticed. So yeah, I would say right now the team seems to be in a much better place, and I think there's honestly a good feel that there is a clean slate for the whole team. I think they're taking the opportunity to really take advantage of that. And what we're seeing is that they're a pretty, pretty happy team together right now for the most part. And obviously it's preseason and it's not, you know, game 50 when the losses are piled up, but you know, it's a good sign right now that where things are headed and where things are at in the locker room.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree. So I think switching gears here to get to another viewer question from a loyal listener and friend of the show, Jerry Kachoyan, at the Armo Trader on Twitter. Sure. He wanted to ask you, I guess we're going to talk about kind of our favorite topic and Lakers Twitter's favorite topic of the offseason, Julius Randle. And he wanted to know if you think he's starting power forward material or if he's just a low efficiency double-double guy with good passing ball handling skills. I don't know. That actually kind of sounds like starting power forward material to me. So I guess what are your thoughts on this whole Larry Nance Jr., Julius Randle, who's a better fit with the starters debate? Because that just seems to be the thing that has engulfed Lakers Twitter since Anthony and I talked about it on a gondola at Summer League.
Oh, I appreciate you guys going on a little gondola ride and stirring up controversy for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have a very strong opinion about this. I really think that Julius Randle is still the higher ceiling, higher potential, more talented, you know, air quotation marks, basketball player. But Larry Nance obviously does things that Julius doesn't. He's more of a hustle player. He's a much better defender. He's much more vertical player. He's more athletic. He does a lot of things that Randle doesn't. I don't think the Lakers are in a position where it matters. I think they're lucky to have two very young power forwards that can develop together. So on a night where Larry Nance has 2 points and one rebound, Julius Randle has 16 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. That's last night. You know, Nance was pretty quiet last night, and meanwhile, Randle filled it up. He had a great game. So I think that it's good for the Lakers, because young players, consistency is such a hard thing to come by, that on a night where one of them might not be on point or just having an off game, the other one can come in behind and be productive. So I think it's a good position for the Lakers to be in, to have two power forwards that can fill up rebounds, that can fill up some dishes, that can run the floor a bit, that can do some different things. So my opinion is, I think Julius Randle is still the starting power forward until further notice. And Larry Nance is going to be a great big man to have in the rotation and to do some different things with. If it's just trying to adjust to lineups or specific rotations, he's a great piece for Luke to work with.
Yeah, I have kind of 2 points on this that I've made a couple times, so I don't want to belabor them too much. But my thing is, we don't really know what Randle is, because we don't really know what anyone is after the last coach and after the last 2 years have just seen kind of every single player on the Lakers roster systematically misused for the most part. We just don't know really where their true ceilings are, and we kind of have to see what they can be under Luke a little bit. And also, young players grow naturally. So even if Randle wasn't a perfect player last year, like the thing that stuck out to me, my biggest takeaway from last night's game, other than Russell, obviously, was Randle's passing. He just continues to be a good playmaker, and he's finding guys now. And it's almost like that there weren't guys open for him to pass to last year, and that was more of an issue than necessarily that, you know, he just doesn't know how to pass. And my other thing with this is it's not a bad thing to have two good young players to push each other at a position of need. That's just, I think Lakers fans too, and I think all of us to a certain degree have forgotten a little bit because of how bad the team has been, that's just called depth. Like, sometimes it's good to have multiple good players at one position, and that can help your rotation. Like you said, on a night when one of the guys isn't playing well, the other guy can kind of step up.
Absolutely, and I think that's it. Is that maybe we aren't used to having talent condensed into one place and accepting it. You know, we're not used to having two talented guards or two talented point guards, two talented centers, but, like, we have two talented power forwards. A lot of teams have two talented power forwards. Lakers, both of them happen to be young. It's a great position to be in, you know, but we don't really know a lot about Randle or Nance. You know, they still have a lot of expansion they could do in their game. You know, Larry Nance, as great as the dream of him maybe being a stretch five was, you know, last night he went 0 for 4 from the field and he missed both of his three pointers.
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging how confident he looked taking them. Like, he didn't pause at all. And that's another thing with Randle. He hasn't looked like he's pausing at all on his jumper anymore. So that's good. But last night, the confidence didn't really work out for Nance. He did.
Exactly.
You know, he chucked away and missed. So,
and I don't think either of them right now has a consistent mid-range jumper. Like, we can be like, yeah, look at him. He's a mid-range shooter. Like, neither of them can be respected or trusted in that sense. It's great when they make them. It feels like found candy, but, like, it's not something you're going to be like, yeah, Julius Randle, mid-range beast, you know, Dirk Nowitzki. And the same with Nance. So I think that, you know, what could separate one from the other at this point, I think they both have pros and cons. What could separate one from the other is one of them finds that consistent jumper, because then you have a very large leg up.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think, you know, obviously, if either of them develop a jumper, it just makes the Lakers' offense and themselves so much harder to guard, because Randle, really the only thing teams can do to stop him from getting into the paint is just by sagging off and forcing him to shoot a jumper. And so if he can make that, then that's huge for him. And Nance, even though he's not as much of a threat off of the dribble, but just being able to space the floor, especially if he can actually be kind of that stretch five, like you mentioned, which is the pipe dream in small lineups, then, I mean, that's an amazing find so late in the first round.
Absolutely. So, again, I think they have a great problem. They actually have a dream problem. So, for me, I think they're both really talented. The debate between it drives me crazy, because I think very highly of Nance. I just think we don't need to. They don't, like, people almost make it feel like it's mutually exclusive. Like, they both can't be good.
Yeah.
And I think they both could be really good. And I think we just, you know, just let it be. Randle's only played 1 year. And I think physically he looks
Nance.
Great right now. Yeah, I mean, so is Nance. So they're both 1 year players, and Nance is older. So, I mean, it's a lot to consider in this equation. Again, I think ultimately we all just need to wait and see. And we have a lot of time to sit back and enjoy and, you know, and see what they do.
Yeah, and so I think another rotation source of kind of controversy has been Clarkson being brought in off the bench so far. I think that's been kind of the biggest surprise of the preseason. So John C. at Jobber99 asked, he asked Clarkson six man. So I'm going to take that as assuming, we're going to take that as, should Clarkson be the sixth man going forward? Well, I mean, what are your thoughts on the move after kind of getting an up close and personal look at it last night? I kind of have my thoughts, but I'd like to hear what you think.
The main problem with Jordan Clarkson being the sixth man is that makes Lou Williams starting shooting guard.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And while Lou Williams can score, and, like, last night he was just on fire, the man could not miss. He was Superman out there. It was just crazy how many shots Lou Williams was hitting in, down the stretch there. But he can't defend.
No.
He can't defend.
I asked Luke about this on last Tuesday, and he praised shoot, Lou Williams. He praised Lou Williams for how he kind of helped the team stay out in their – he kind of helped them get out of an offensive rut in the first half. And my kind of thoughts on it were, you know, how much of that rut was caused by him not really moving the ball very much. But he did score decently well, and that's kind of the give and take that you have with him. And I think if he's in that starting lineup, it just makes it a little – I think it – hurts his value, and I think it hurts the starting lineup a little bit because he's not going to be just a spot up guy. And when he's kind of holding the ball, then all that ball movement and all that motion that we've seen is kind of for naught to a certain degree. And I thought that, you know, Luke, he highlighted that he Williams just was not very good defensively, and there was some stuff that they were going to have to talk to him about after looking at film. But realistically, how much of that are they going to be able to fix? Lou Williams is, I forget how many years he's been in the league, but he's an established veteran. I don't know how much defensive improvement we can expect from him. And I think that's almost, you know, the stopping the ball and the defense are kind of the biggest issues with starting him. But I think, you know, consequently, if they could find someone else down the line that's a little bit better of a fit as a starter, I think Clarkson, you know, has shown that he would be a great sixth man if that's the role that he ultimately ends up in.
I think sixth man's probably the ideal role for Clarkson. Clarkson's basically, I mean, I think you would almost want Clarkson to play the role you want Lou Williams to ideally play, which is backup point guard who can score. That's where I think he fits best. And if he becomes a great defender, that's a bonus. You can rotate him in for lineups and matchups, specific things off the bench or whatever. You can get creative with it. But the other problem with Lou Williams, and I think you bring it up, is that it cheapens D'Angelo Russell a lot too, because he's going to be that main scorer in the starting lineup. I think that seems abundantly clear at this point. But I will say this, watching them play last night as well, the offensive sets are starting up a lot of the times when Russell doesn't have it. It starts in Lou Williams' hand. Russell does something off ball, and then it gets back to Russell's hands. And the Luke's playbook or whatever they got going on, I'd have to really break it down, but just seeing it up close, they're doing good things to get Russell clear. So, you know, they're doing some stuff with Lou Williams initiating, and by him initiating, it's basically him waiting for Russell to make an off-ball move. But yeah, back to Clarkson, I guess, is where the point should be. I think he looked great last night. I think if he brings that defensive energy, that helps elevate what they're doing as a team. And I think overall, the team's looked really energetic defensively. He could be an ideal sixth man. I think he could be a starter too, until they figure out some other lumps. I think right now, more so than worrying about sixth man for the Lakers, they should probably just put together the best starting five they can.
Well, that actually kind of leads us into a question from Brian H. at Run the Jewel. So, hey, he took your hashtag for Julius Randle running the floor to make his app. That's pretty cool. So he asked about the most realistic the most realistic starting lineups for opening night, or what's the most realistic surprise, I guess, in the starting lineup for opening night. So we've had a couple people asking about Nick Young and how well he played last night as well. We had at Dan_Onas and at DNIC426 both asked, you know, could Nick Young actually be an important player? Could Nick Young play a big role off the bench? Would you be surprised if he ended up in that starting lineup maybe? Could that be the shocker of all shocks that he ends up as the starting shooting guard and they bring Clarkson off the bench? And I mean, I don't know that makes a ton of sense, but if he plays like he has the last two games where he's kind of doing a lot of good work as a spot up guy, then, you know, maybe he actually has some use. I don't know if it's as starter, but I guess, you know, that's a lot to unpack. But what are your thoughts on kind of Nick Young's play and, you know, the starting lineup, I guess, as a whole, like two bullet points?
I think it would be shocking. This is hard to explain. I think it would be shocking if Nick Young is in the starting lineup because nobody expected it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if that's how it turns out.
Yeah, I mean, he's been shockingly good. So
absolutely.
Far. And again, it's just preseason, but it's like I got laughed at on Twitter a couple months ago because I said, you know, if Nick Young could just kind of go back to the way that he played under D'Antoni as kind of more of a spot up shooter a little bit and leveraging the threat of his shot, then he could actually maybe kind of play a role for the Lakers this year. I wasn't suggesting he'd start at any point, but he could maybe be a utility guy. And he's kind of, at least so far through two preseason games, he's kind of been that.
Yeah, I think so. I think Nick Young's done a really good job establishing himself that he can be useful for this team after being in the doghouse for a lot of different reasons, and some of them rightful, some of them not. The thing about it is, though, is I guess it ultimately depends on Luol Deng's status, right?
This yeah, is where, that's true.
You know, like, Luol Deng has a knee situation going on right now, and we don't know the extent of it. They've actually been really quiet about it.
Yeah, knee situation is about the extent of the information that we have so far, which is always a great sign.
Absolutely. For a guy with mileage like Luol Deng, that's exactly what you want. You want as little information as possible on his knees.
Yeah, exactly. Just the knee situation.
You know, I think... I wasn't all right. I liked Nick Young under Mike D'Antoni. I did. I think
everybody
he got a pretty
did. Everybody. He was beloved. There was a campaign to keep him in Los Angeles,
and I think he still is that guy. I think a lot of different reasons, a lot of different things, he got detoured. I'm totally down with giving him a clean slate. Say, hey, perform. I don't care. Honestly, and I think that's why he's thriving right now. I think there's honestly that going on right now. Luke's not holding anything that's happened against them. Whatever it happened, go out there, play. And, you know, Luke called his defense last night spectacular. Spectacular defender, Nick Young. And he was, and I think he was. He was out there hustling for loose balls. He was deflecting passing. He was doing what he could out there getting in guys' jerseys. And it was impressive to see. And I think Nick Young has value. He's a three-point shooter. He can create a little bit. And I like him with that starting lineup for the reason that he's a veteran guy who I think, maybe I'm crazy, I think he could do okay as a veteran guy in that lineup because I think he knows his game. He's, you know, he's going to put up a shot. He's going to put up a shot. And I don't know. I can't really explain that. I think he'd be a good, this is crazy to sound, you're going to sound crazy. I think he could be a good stabilizing wing for a young team.
Yeah, and that's what's insane. And there don't, just being around the team, those chemistry issues between him and Russell, just they don't seem to be there.
It
doesn't seem to be a huge thing. And again, we're talking about, you and I have both been to one game, so it's like, how can we really know? But everything that they've said in the media has that they're going to try and give each other a clean slate, it seems like. And so, I mean, they don't have to be best friends. They just have to be able to play together. And I think Russell fed him for a couple of his threes over the last couple games, right?
Yeah, they've passed it to each other. I think it's totally fine. I mean,
they aren't freezing each other out there, and no. They aren't like openly fist fighting in the locker room. So no. I mean, we were all worried about the chemistry issue that it would cause, even bringing him into training camp. But so far, we haven't seen any of that.
Absolutely not. I think everything's gone over really smoothly, and I think Nick may have known a lot was on the line for him to go in there and be professional, and I think he's been professional. Last night he was beaming, full-on smiles, like old-school Nick Young that I've seen in the past, and he looked happy. He looked happy to be, you know, just there and performing well and, like, you know, in the mix of, like, an exciting win for the Lakers. And, you know, it's a preseason win, but it was an exciting win for them. You know, they kept their guys out there, everybody performed well, they played hard, and they won. And I think even if, like you said, the one-on-one chemistry is not there between them, it's not affecting the team right now, and I think realistically that's all that matters.
Yeah, and so with that said, I guess, what do you see as the starting lineup going into opening night? Because even as good as Lou Williams was last night, I just find it hard to believe that he's going to be the starting shooting guard when, you know, the Lakers tip in 2 weeks here.
I would be surprised as well. So we've talked up and down about it, so I'll just lay out my five guys. D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Luol Deng, asterisk. If he's still having this knee thing, then I'm going to say it's going to be Nick Young, Julius Randle, and Timofey Mozgov.
Okay, I think mine is similar. I also wouldn't mind seeing Anthony Brown get some of that run. He shot pretty well in that first I tweeted that Anthony Brown is entering the game. It remains to be seen if his shot is right before he entered the game in his first one. And then he proceeded to go 4 or 5 from the field in like 5 minutes of play and just kind of hit everything. And so I got laughed at a little bit for that one. So I wouldn't mind seeing him maybe get that spot. I guess maybe not as the starter if Deng is hurt, but I think he should at least get some consideration given that he's played fairly well so far. His shot hasn't been amazing in all of the games, but I think he's been reasonable and his defense is also really good.
Yeah, I have my concerns about him being in the starting lineup. I just think he's just not been nearly consistent enough to be like, yeah, you're getting the starter spot right now, and we haven't seen enough from him. That could change. We still have a lot of preseason to go. One more note on Nick Young. I don't know that we should all trust this is Nick Young, the basketball player, yet either, especially the
defender. I was about to give that disclaimer. Go ahead.
It's like when you go on a diet for a week and then you go back to eating poorly. Like, you just got to wait it out. Like, yeah, we'll see if he commits to this diet.
Yeah, we'll see if it continues if and when he makes the roster. Which actually kind of, again, I'm doing pretty well with these segues. I got to pat myself on the back tonight. So, again, it leads us into our next question, our last question for today from the listeners. And it's from Ben Rosales, another writer for the site. But he said, my position staked out here, but thoughts on keeping E, even if T-Rob proves a useful rotation guy. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll also talk about what we think the five cuts are going to be.
Perfect. My opinion is, I think even if Thomas Robinson looks like the better and more useful player, they're going to keep E. I think because of the contract structure and because he's 7'1" or 7 foot tall, however tall he is, and because he has a alleged perimeter shot if he can get his release off, I think he'll make the final roster, even if Thomas Robinson is the better player. Now, shouts to Tom Fair, don't get upset. Your Kansas boy might be getting cut.
Well, he might get upset because you mispronounced his last name. It's Fear.
Oh, whatever. Fear. Tom Fear. My apologies. So, Tom, I apologize, but I think it's better off for T-Rob anyway. He would probably just rot at the very end of the bench, a la Robert Sacre, probably even get less than Robert Sacre last season, because I think he'd just be so far out of the rotation. So he'd be better off going just about anywhere else than being at the end of the Lakers bench. But I think that spot's going to stay with E.
Okay, so my argument against E, because I actually have him as one of the guys I think might actually get cut, even though it's kind of, I mean, I don't know how realistic it is, but I guess this is more in my mind of who's kind of earned it, and I don't see it from him. I think he's a bad defender. I think he's taken a lot of shots that he's not necessarily making, as evidenced by him being kind of second on the team in usage, but just in his limited minutes that he's been out there. And I don't think he's good on defense. You mentioned the slow shot. I'm not sure how effective he's going to be as kind of that quote unquote stretch five. And I'd kind of rather see them downsize and play small a little bit than play E. And so I think I would see him gone. I think August is probably gone. He hasn't played a second yet in the preseason over three games. I think Ware and Jacobs, they both seem to be nice guys from my interactions with them. But, you know, I look forward to covering them with the defenders. And I think Jacobs is like a decent prospect as far as undrafted guys go. I think he's like, he had some good energy and like good athleticism in that kind of come from a head loss to the Nuggets the other night. But again, I don't see him making the roster with how crowded the Lakers' backcourt is. And then I also think Meta World Peace is probably going to be gone. I think he's a great mentor. He's hilarious. But I just I don't think he's an NBA player anymore. So sorry, Meta.
I think we agree on just about every one of those cuts. The only thing we have flipped is Thomas Robinson and Ian. I get that. I think you could be right. You know, it could be actually more effective to have a backup big man to work into a smaller rotation than to have ease like a just to have size, you know, when he's not effective and cares if he's
like he's big, but it's not like he's protecting the rim or anything. Like, you don't need to be 7'1" to give up layups. Like,
yeah, I mean maybe, you know, if they were playing against chairs.
Yeah, if they were playing against chairs, then he's kind of a must-have guy on your roster, I think.
Absolutely, probably number one pick.
Yeah, or like the number seven pick, right? Yeah. That does it for our viewer questions, our listener questions. We really appreciate everyone sending in kind of their queries and what they want to know about the Lakers. We love interacting with you guys, and we appreciate you listening to the show. So, Drew, I had at least a couple more questions on now that we've seen three preseason games, and again, we've both been in the building once, and I just have your thoughts on how good the Lakers can be changed at all?
Yes. I think they could be better than I thought they were just by watching these three preseason games. I've had
Let's overreact to the preseason. Let's do it.
Absolutely. That's my favorite thing to do. Yeah. I had a degenerate cousin who's been asking me about the 24.5 over-under. And I've been on the fence about it for a very long time, and I can officially put my stance this year. Like every other season, for some reason, I'm going with the over. I think they'll be over 24.5 wins. I think they look better than they're going to be. And I think a lot of it rides on how good D'Angelo Russell is going to be. I think he's just going to take a giant leap in his sophomore year. And I have a lot of belief in that. And I think overall, the way that we're seeing the offense kind of flow at this point with creating open shots and pushing the pace and playing with really good pace, it can create some very... It's going to be very free-flowing, and it's hard to see. Like, I think there's going to be enough swing in their way with the way their offense can run that they're going to be just effective enough. And if their defense stays at this intensity we're seeing, and again, this goes back to the whole diet theory, but if their defense stays very high intensity and Timofey Mozgov continues to do a really great job of, you know, the verticality, and that's a whole other conversation. But I think they're all doing a really good job of putting their arms up. There's possessions where you see like 3 or 4 Lakers just with their arms straight up, but their bodies down.
Yeah, and they've been swarming guys. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think after watching 3 preseason games, I'm going to overreact to say they're going to be a lot better than I thought they were.
I don't know that I'm totally convinced yet. I still think there are enough question marks. Like you mentioned with the diet thing about the defense, can they stick with this intensity? I also think that the teams that they've played are not very good. Neither of these teams are playoff teams. So even though they've went 2-1, the Kings were dominating them with their starters in the first half before they sent all of those guys to the bench. And, I mean, part of that was Lou's defense. Part of that was just, like, the Lakers looked really stilted on offense. But, you know, that I think, offers questions. And then I think... them destroying the Nuggets with coverage built for D'Angelo Russell to succeed has not convinced me that they're going to be way better than I thought they were. I could see them getting to 24. I think even before the over-unders came out, I was saying I think around 24 or 25 wins, which is still, like, that's a 7-win improvement. That's not nothing. And I think that they'll be good enough to do that. Getting above that, I think there are still just a lot of question marks about mm-hmm. the defense to kind of bank on that and to tell your cousin to take the over.
Well, I told him to drop everything he had on it, so good luck to him.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so then I guess last thing here before we go, it's locker room story time. What have you seen around the locker room? Like, what's the best story you have so far? Just fun little thing that would never make it into a game story or a column or whatever. But what have you seen around the locker room?
I think Brandon Ingram's socks yesterday, they were, I think, the Chewbacca ones when he was putting them on. He's very skinny also. I think he's... we talk a lot about how skinny he is, you know, in blogging or whatever, but when you're up close and you see how tall he is and how lanky he is, you see just how wispy the kid is. He's definitely going to take some time to fill that out, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but super duper wispy. I mentioned the Jordan Clarkson story earlier.
Really quickly on the Ingram thing, the other night I sent out a picture of him from where I was sitting when he was getting back on defense right after coming into the game for the first time. And I think for the next 2 hours I had people quote tweeting it and roasting him for how skinny he looked. So that's definitely still building up the strength and everything is definitely still going to be a work in progress for him.
Oh, a very long time. I mean, he is... Man, I just hope he doesn't catch any of these winds, San Ana winds. He's going to blow away.
Yeah, they're going to blow him to Sacramento.
Oh, God. Poor kid. Trying to think of anything else. I don't have anything. I'm going to keep thinking. Do you have anything you want to toss while I ponder?
Yeah, so I put you on the spot there. But I think Meta World Peace for the second consecutive year has been a quote machine and nothing of it, just a lot of fun in the locker room before the game. Last year, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but my introduction to him was him asking me if I had ever put my hands under hot water after them being freezing outside. And explaining to me how much that hurt growing up in New York. And this year, you know, he decided to top that. I guess he walked over, he introduced himself to me, and he was telling me about an unnamed, I'm not going to name the reporter, but he's like, hey, this guy looks great, right? After the offseason, he used to be a lot bigger, just kind of mimed with his hands, like a bigger chin, that kind of thing. And he made this reporter pull out his old driver's license to show me that he used to be a little bit heavier and, you know, was just kind of messing around about that. So he still continues to be a lot of fun to interact with. And, you know, it's kind of a shame that he won't, that there are, that they can't just have a legacy Meta World Peace roster spot. And I would hope that they hire him as an assistant coach if they decide to not keep him on the roster. And then I think another interesting thing that I noticed was before the whole game on Tuesday, during warmups, Julian Jacobs was using this kind of blood flow simulation compression device. I'm not sure if they were using it while you were in the locker room, but it was this new, like, interesting medical technology that they've invested in that's kind of made to stimulate blood flow in the legs. And it looks like just a gigantic blood pressure cuff, if you made one into pants that the players put on. It looks like kind of combined with a brace, and they kind of lay on the floor. And I guess it, Jacobs was telling me, it feels like a kind of like one of those blood pressure monitors, and it just it compresses on your legs and I guess stimulates blood flow. So I thought that was interesting that they're kind of using that new medical technology. That wasn't something that I saw out in the locker room last year.
Interesting. I had no idea. See, look at that. Advanced health analytics.
Yeah, they're investing all the way. So did you think of anything else?
The only other thing, most of the stuff I did honestly last night in the locker room, I didn't get too many great stories. I hate to break it to you guys. I did notice D'Angelo had a, I don't know if it was snapback or fitted, but he had a custom hat, I believe, and all it had was lowercase letter D.
So Bang. He's still wearing clothing with his name on it. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't say that I would not do the same if people were making fan art of me of some type. So I can't really blame him there. But anyway, I think that just about covers everything, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, it's been pretty cool three preseason games. It's great to have basketball back. I think we've covered a lot of topics up and down, and I'm sure some of the stuff we've talked about in other podcasts, so hopefully we didn't go over too many retrace here.
No, I think we mostly hit new ground, so it was good to have you on. Nice. And I appreciate you joining us. Let our listeners know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, where I tweet all dang time, at Drew Garrison SBN, all one word. Obviously at silverscreenandroll.com, where we do all of our blogging, writing content, stuff like that. And yeah, thanks for having me on. I've been looking forward to being on one of these Locked On Lakers podcasts. You guys are doing some great work here, so thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you. We appreciate that. You know, the podcast has been a lot of fun this season. It's fun to have actual basketball to talk about instead of Instagram posts, which was a struggle during the off season, but we tried to make it fun no matter what we're going with. And, you know, everyone should follow Drew. I don't think that it's an overstatement to say there's no chance I would have this podcast or even the small level of success that I had in this industry without him, kind of his guidance and him taking a chance on me several years ago. So everyone go follow Drew. He's great. And again, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And Anthony, next time maybe we can get a little trio going on, kind of like old times with you guys. Yeah,
no, trust me, you don't want him on here. He's not that great. All of you listening should continue to subscribe after this episode, but you know, just my personal opinion, Anthony's not so great.
Brutal.
Anyway, so real quick before we leave, I wanted to remind our listeners that you can find the show on iTunes. You can subscribe there. Leave a review, please, preferably 5 stars if you can do that. But if not, then we appreciate constructive criticism. And you can also find the show on Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, and Silver Screen and Roll. Don't forget to use the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek for a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. We also wanted to announce a new sponsor today, Mac Weldon. If you want some of the most comfortable underwear and socks I've ever worn, use the promo code LOLakers for 20% off on your first order. We'll talk to everybody later, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.